asked me how I bought it. I told him on credit, Daddy just smiled. I'll never forget it. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said some things just glitter and shine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, July 2nd, last show before the 4th of July, 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the show, all you do is text me. She'll come on the program April Murray Fogle. That's in about an hour from now, so stick around for that. But joining us now, he's about to board a bus to Philadelphia, but he's making time for this program, and we're very appreciative of it. Congressman Robert Adderholt joins us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you. It's been a while.
It has, but you're right in the thick of it here with the 250 celebrations. You're on
yes.
the Sequicentennial Commission. Talk to us. You've been very active. I've seen you doing a lot of media here, but I wanted to get you on. And, talking about things from your perspective and really how this is all coming together.
Yeah, well, of course, there's a two-part thing here. Of course, the big semi-quincentennial celebration, America 250 is what everybody calls it, because semi-quincentennial is a little bit of a mouthful. But I can remember in 1976, as a young boy, and it was just called the bicentennial, and that was pretty easy to say. But since now we're at the semi-quincentennial, they just call it A250. But anyway, we are, I was honored to be on the commission. There's about 18, 20 commissioners across the nation that have been a part of planning the different festivities. And they're all across the country, not one single place. And one of the things that's taking place is there's a group of members of Congress that were going up to Independence Hall this morning, and this afternoon we are going to pull right in there near the Independence Hall, and we're going to have a little ceremonial event, and then we're going to understand we're going to sign a document, and I'm not sure I have not seen the document, but I assume it'll be something like the reaffirming the principles of the Declaration or something. And so there's about 30 or so members of Congress that are going up. We're not voting today, so it allows members to be able to go up there. And then quick trip over the Liberty Bell across the street, and then we're back here in Washington tonight. So that is that's sort of what my day looks like, but I wanted to be a part of this ceremony and of course no better place in Washington than to be in Philadelphia for the semi-quincentennial America's 250.
Yeah, and talk to us a little bit about the preparations here and kind of where we are. Do you feel like we're like really capturing the moment here with some of the things that have been put in place to celebrate this this anniversary?
I think it's as much as we can. I'm on that bus. I think it's as much as we can be. It is, of course, we're a very divided nation right now. So it's not I'm sure, but they were divided back in 1776 as well. They were a lot of disagreements. And of course, writing the Constitution there, everything almost fell apart. And Ben Franklin came in to save the day and encourage them all to come together and pray that we would have a nation that would we could keep a republic. And the nation's always been divided, and so I know a lot of people get discouraged about so much division, and I don't want to downplay that there's not any division, but at the same time we've always had division. But we argue with our voices and we don't shoot each other with guns. And so that's how it differs us from some other third world countries around the world today.
Yeah, it's not a perfect system, but it's not a bad system. And if you've been anywhere else around the world, I mean, it's pretty, it's pretty easy to understand that, right?
Yeah, no, and if you notice in the document itself of the Declaration of Independence, the founders talked about a more perfect union. They never talked about it being a perfect union. but a more perfect union. And so, you know, we've come a long way. But what those founders did back in 1776 is, you know, just remarkable in that it we're still 250 years later, we're celebrating our independence and the greatest country in the world. And I'm, you know, it's to be a part of this and to, but no matter where you are, we're in Washington, Philadelphia, or you're in, you know, Mobile, Birmingham, up in Haleville, my hometown, wherever you are, it's celebrating America. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, so I was like 3.5 months old for the bicentennial, but I
so you remember it well.
Yeah, I'm about your age when you, 76. I remember a lot about 86 for some reason, and the 210 and all the festivities. But you know, it has sort of lost like some of its momentum. These big celebrations. And I don't know. You're right. Maybe it's just a vision in the country. Maybe it's just changes in the culture or whatever. But I look and I got a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 5-month-old, and I wonder what they will. The baby probably won't remember anything. The 2-year-old will see. 5-year-old will remember some of it. What will they remember about America 250?
Yeah. Well, I was fortunate enough to be about 10 years old. During America's bicentennial. So I was old enough to remember. I remember going with my dad and buying fireworks. and my mother thought we spent too much on fireworks. I remember that. And my dad says, well, you know, we won't have the two bicentennial again. So it was okay. I was able to remember it. Of course, you know, being 10 years old, I don't remember it like I would have if I would have been an adult, but I have very vivid memories of us coming together as a nation. I remember the bicentennial quarters and half dollars that they minted during that time to commemorate the bicentennial. So just a lot of excitement. I remember back then, everybody had clothes that were that celebrated the bicentennial. And of course, I'm seeing here in Washington, I'm seeing so many red, white, and blue people with 250 t-shirts on and really commemorating that as well. So yeah, it's I think really the nation is coming together and realizing that we may have our differences, but you know, we are one nation under God, and we're very privileged to live in this country. And we need to make sure that we you know, while we have our disagreements, at the same time we protect our freedoms as much as possible, and to celebrate during this time of year.
Yeah, my kids will see the tricentennial probably, and you know, I wonder what that will be, how crazy that will be. But
well, there is a at Independence Hall on 4th of July morning, and I'm actually, on another note, I'm going back up there tomorrow afternoon. I'm going back up to Washington, to Philadelphia from Washington, because they are burying a capsule for the in light of the 250, but it's not going to be open for another 250 years for 2276. So you can imagine what things will be like in 250 years from today.
Yeah, I mean, you know how different they were 250 years ago. But
yeah, think of how different it was back in 1776 today, and that'll be the same amount of time and how much more we have progressed. So there's no telling what they will be doing in 2276.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned it, that we're divided, but like we've gone through times of division in this country, and sure, they're in the history books and we remember them, and you know, not downplaying the Civil War or anything, but we typically don't remember those when it comes to these sort of occasions looking back on them, I think.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm very encouraged because, like I said, I'm here in Washington and I see all of the families that are here that are walking around Washington and with the red, white, and blue on and celebrating America.
Joined by Congressman Robert Adderholt, who's about to be en route to Philadelphia. We got to talk a little politics here while I got you.
Sure.
Some crazy, crazy things going on the Democrat side. What do you see it over there? What are your expectations? Because I think I mean, I think Republicans have a decent shot in November. Cook and Larry Sabato and those guys, I think based off of redistricting, the Republicans could keep the House. But, you know, whatever happens, happens. But on the Democrat side, there's a lot of turmoil there. Can you sense it? Do you sense it from your colleagues?
Yeah, no, this has been like, a shock of what's happened in the Democrat Party over the last just two or three weeks with these socialist Democrats that are being elected and even unseating members of the Democrat Party. And I can tell you the Democrat members that have been unseated in this election were not conservative Democrats. They were very liberal Democrats. And so it is, I'm just reminded that, gosh, if that's where the Democrat Party is going, it's going to be crazy. So that's what I'm, you know, we're just trying to process this and figure out why this, you know, is happening. Now, the encouraging thing about it, and I say the encouraging, I don't know if it's just another way to look at it, is that we are now, what we're seeing these Mandami candidates pop up are mainly in larger cities. It is an isolated group of people, but at the same time, it's still very concerning that these people will be coming to Washington and being a member of Congress and representing views that I think are so opposite to what our founding fathers really had in mind about what the United States of America would be like.
Well, and you know, I think things have changed, especially now that gas prices are starting to ease. You got redistricting and the Supreme Court decision, another shot in the arm there with some of the campaign financing and freeing up some resources. I feel, and I don't know where you are, and I'm curious to hear you, but you got to feel better about where you guys are. I mean, I know it's an election cycle with a Republican in the White House, and you've seen this over and over again with Republicans in the White House or Democrats in the White House and how that all cycle goes. But some things are starting to come together that could help, I think, the GOP, right?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of things coming together, and I think the Republicans may be able to will be able to hold the House. At least I think we've got a really good shot. I mean, back, I think 6 months ago, people were a little, you know, bleak about it, but now after these redistricting and the Supreme Court rulings and the Virginia court ruling and all, that's really, I think we have a fighting chance to hold the House. Well, we only hold it by about three seats now, so. You know, it's going to be close. This is not going to, anybody tells you it's not even going to be a contest is not really being honest with you. It will be close either way. But I think the Republicans have a good shot. And I think the Senate, you know, they may lose a seat or two, but I think they can still maintain the majority, especially with Vance being the tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker, right. So, like, it's not as doom and gloom as it was. To talk about inside the caucus, I mean, I know it's been a bumpy ride here in the last, you know, 5-10 years or whatever, but and I know the Save America Act caused some consternation a couple of days ago, but things don't seem quite as on edge as they may have been in the past.
Yeah, well, speaking of the Save America Act, you know, we really need to get that passed. And if we've passed it in the House already, and so there's not a problem with it passing on the House side. It's the Senate side is where the issue is. And we've got to figure out a way to deal with the filibuster, because the way that the parties are so partisan now, you it's almost the Republicans can't get anything done. And, you know, I have not been one that's always been negative on the filibuster, but at the same time, we live in a different era. So I don't know how we're going to deal with this. That's not an issue that, you know, no one asked me about, because we don't have the filibuster rule in the House. We majority rules in the House. So, it's the Senate that has to deal with that. So, it's a big issue, because if the Democrats were to take control and were to, of the House and the Senate and in 2 years or the next presidential race to get the presidency, then, you know, I'm concerned what they would do. So it's a real, you know, not an easy thing to deal with, but the Save America Act, by, you know, what, no question, needs to be passed. And so I am one way or the other, we need to get it passed. So, like I said, it's right now it's held up in the Senate. So we'll see what happens. Maybe after this next election, things will be different. I don't know.
Well, is it this that, and I hear some of your colleagues like trying to attach it as a rider to something that is a must pass bill? Is that the right approach? Or, I mean, is it just we really need the Senate to do something with the filibuster?
Well, that's debatable. I mean, obviously, what we do in the House has no bearing on the Senate. So, but I understand the frustration a lot of members want to pass. But, I mean, you know, it's like the Senate is not going to take in consideration what the House does. So I don't know that really does a lot of good. I mean, because we've passed it anyway. Obviously, any pressure we can put on the Senate to do it, but, you know, just knowing the Senate, I don't think by us just saying we're not going to do anything in the House is really, you know, going to make a difference. So,
yeah. Well, it's just kind of watching it from afar, but, you know, I guess we'll fight that fight another day. Hey, Congressman, I know you got to get on the bus.
Happy A250, or as I like to say, semi-quincentennial. I finally learned to say it, so I can say it. And I hope everybody has a great 4th of July. And, you know, as we wherever we are, what's Washington, Philadelphia, like I said, you know, a small town in Alabama, big city across America, you know, we're all celebrating America 250 and the semi-quincentennial. And, you know, and I think everybody should just reflect on how thankful we are to have the freedoms that we have in this country that so many places around the world can't enjoy today.
Well, Congressman, we appreciate your time. You're always very generous, and we'll get you on again soon. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks so much, Jeff, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Congressman Robert Adderholt there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.